Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D&Z. Here are your hosts, D&Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
NFL playoffs, the never-ending college football playoff, and Black Monday has come and gone. But we begin today's show with the firing of John Harbaugh. Right? I didn't expect it. I'm a Ravens fan. I didn't expect this. 18 years. Super Bowl appearance, only 3 playoff wins the last couple of years with Lamar Jackson. Rashadi wrote a very nice letter saying goodbye to him. My initial thoughts are, wow, it's the end of an era, essentially. And according to Harbaugh's agent, he's already got 7 phone calls of teams that want him to go there. There's only 6 openings right now, but okay. As besides the Ravens opening.
Right.
So
who's the 7th?
Wait a minute. Someone's got a coach and is calling you?
I got it. Jim. To join the Charger staff.
Sure, that's not
hey,
bad.
Hey, big bro. Come home.
What do you think about the change at the head coaching position?
Floored. Completely floored.
He's a really good coach.
I mean,
he's a good coach.
180 and 113 for his career, Super Bowl, Coach of the Year. So he was the AP Coach of the Year in 2019. Like, he's got the cred, man. And, but I mean, it's funny. We think
funny
about
how, like a clown. Like,
I'm here to amuse you. You know, this was supposed to be. Like Mike Tomlin's swan song, right? It was kind of like a loser leaves town match almost. Like, you know, this is the time where Mike Tomlin was not going to be able to survive, even though he was over 500. And a missed kick from...
Well, if he lost that game,
he would have been out. I think
he would have been under 500.
I think he would have been out.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
So sure. I think they finally would have done that. But, you know, there was no indication that John Harbaugh was even on the hot seat, right? Now, reports indicate, and take what you will, is that Bisciotti wanted to move on from Todd Monken, and John Harbaugh stood up for his guy.
Wow.
So, if that's the case, Noble. I'll give you
but
that.
Stupid.
Noble, but stupid.
But stupid.
Like, dude, like, Todd Monken's offense is so conservative, it could be on Fox News.
But I think there might have been a part of him... Harbaugh that just wanted out.
Possibly.
Right? You're stuck. Not that you're stuck, but I mean, let's be real. Lamar Jackson took a step back this year. I was surprised that in the 7 years he's been in the league, he only has 3 playoff wins, where Josh Allen has 7 and Patrick Mahomes has like 9. So he doesn't have a lot of playoff cred. And, you know, remember, they were a number one or a number two seed. And I was there when they got bounced out by Kansas City in Baltimore, you know? So, I mean, we've talked about it a number of times this year, but is it possible that Lamar's hit his ceiling? Is it possible that we've seen the best of Lamar And let's be real. He runs an offense that's catered to him.
Yes.
Yes, there's less running now. There's more passing, but it's catered towards his talents. It's not a drop back and kind of let it rip kind of offense. You know? So Mark Andrews is, you know, getting older. They probably need to replace the tight end position. The defense took a huge step back this year.
They still don't have a number one.
They were scored upon a lot. They don't have a number one wide receiver. Derrick Henry is going to be a year older if he stays there. So is it possible that Harbaugh was like, you know what? Like, I might just, yeah, I want Todd Monken to stay. If you want him to go, then I'm going to go.
Right.
And see what happened.
Well, what did Bill Belichick like to say about players? You always want to get rid of them a year too early than a year too late. And same thing applies to coaches. You'd rather get rid of them a year too early than a year too late, because this thing could easily blow up.
Well, they underplayed this year. Let's be real. They did not play very well. And Lamar was like a question mark for a whole month. It's like, Is he hurt? What's the problem? Like, he's day to day, but you're not telling us why he's not playing and if he's going to play. Remember, they went on the bye. He was supposed to play after the bye week, and he still didn't play. Yeah.
Now, think about the games that they wasted with Cooper Rush as the backup. If they had brought in Snoop Huntley earlier, would he still have a job? Would Harbaugh still have a job? Would this team be a playoff team if they had made better decisions earlier in the season?
But even if they made the playoffs, who's to say that they wouldn't have canned him after the first loss? Like,
fair.
They couldn't beat the Steelers without DK Metcalf. I mean, pound for pound, the Ravens, position by position, are better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost to fucking Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers with no DK Metcalf and Jared and Warren's their running back. The Ravens went in healthy for the most part, right? Lamar was playing. Derrick Henry was playing. You thought Derrick Henry would have had a career day, judging by what happened a couple weeks ago.
You would think, right?
Zay Flowers was there. Like, you were ready to go.
And Zay Flowers, to his credit, he caught two bombs. Like, that was – it was an impressive day.
I'm just saying, this wasn't a game where you looked at it and you're like, oh, this is going to be tough. Like, they didn't have their best receiver. You were at full strength. What the fuck happened? Right. And not to mention, you were in position to win the game. You're in position to win the game. And hello, you got rid of Justin Tucker. You bring in Tyler Loop, and look what the fuck happens. Like, you know, and the first half of the game was unwatchable. I believe the Ravens were up 10 at one point. But it never – it just – what. You watched the Seahawks and 49er game. You were like, yo, this is a playoff game. Holy shit. Like, these guys are the Seahawks are trying to kill the 49ers.
They're
trying
to beat down.
They're trying to kill them. Mm-hmm. You watched this game and you're like, these teams are going to the playoffs? These guys? You got one guy missing an extra point, which let the game be in losable now. Mm-hmm. And then the other kicker misses a 44-yard field goal.
Boswell has not missed in 3 years. And, you know, you believe in the Malaika. I believe in the Malaika. And Mike Tirico put the Malaika on Chris Boswell. Said, the most accurate kicker on extra points in 3 years. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we talked about it last week. I don't think either of these teams are making a dent. No. Houston's going to come in there and blow the doors off them, I think. Especially, you know, with them ready to go, so to speak. Like, their defense is one of the best defenses in the league. I would be shocked if the Steelers were able to win this weekend.
I think they should be underdogs, even though they're at home. DK Metcalf is coming back off his suspension, so, you know, there's that. But let's spin it forward. Like, where do you see Harbaugh? There's, like you said, there's six positions, not counting the Ravens, because obviously he's not going back. So of the six positions, and, you know, like, he could take a special teams position someplace. I mean, his heart is in special teams. He was a special teams coach before he became a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, who's to say he doesn't go, like, to the Chargers for a year with his brother? But if he were to jump right back in, because he's up there with McCarthy in terms of best coaching candidate out there, you would figure, if not 1A, if not won outright. Where does he end up? Or does he take the year off and kind of wait for a better job?
Yeah, so I would say that, hold on, I got to hug my little buddy here. He did a good job with his Lego.
Nice, good job.
I would say that, and my answer is going to surprise you, because I don't think his job is available yet. But I think it'll be available after this weekend.
Aaron Glenn.
As soon as he said he was getting fired, all right, we're gonna have to let you go. I think that the perfect job for Mr. Harbaugh is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh,
Eagles lose this weekend to the Rams. You fire Sirianni. You bring in Harbaugh. I believe Harbaugh coached at the Eagles at one point.
He was the special teams coach.
Pretty sure he's a special teams coach.
Yeah. Under Andy Reid, I believe.
Perfect situation for him. Perfect team. Northeast. He's not that far from where he currently is. To me, that's the best one. The next best one, I would say, would be the Buccaneers. But that they haven't fired Todd Bowles. But
I don't know if
that,
move
that would
from
be
Bowles,
a good position. But I don't – out of the ones that are left, I mean – I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because, you know, I don't like what has happened the last couple of years there with Lamar Jackson and the defense. I feel like everything's really taken a step back and taken a slide. And I know what he was like when there was Flacco there. And I know what he was like when he had a really good defense. I know that. So I know he's capable of building those things. Is he capable of coaching a Jackson Dart and making him like a really good quarterback? I don't know. Is he going to go to Cleveland and be able to turn Deshaun Watson around? Because it sounds like that motherfucker has to play. I don't know. The Falcons situation is a disaster at quarterback. Will Kirk Cousins, panics coming off of a torn ACL. He just had Derrick Henry. He got Bijan Robinson. I don't know. So for me, the other positions, I don't really know. Vegas Raiders, again, they're starting from scratch. They need a quarterback. They need all these things. Is he going to be capable of building that? I don't know. So to me, the one that I think is another one, if the Bills are playing their last, this is they're moving on to a new stadium next year. We both probably agree that they're not going to win in the playoffs. They're probably going to lose. They're probably going to be one and done. That they let go of McDermott. The Bills job is a great job for him. You got a quarterback he could throw, he can do everything. He's not just, you know, a runner. He's not just a passer. He could do both. You need a running game. They have Cook there.
Right.
Everything's in play. They have a decent defense. Everything's in play. He's the coach that can get you over the hump of beating Mahomes and moving forward. You could spin it that way.
I mean, that would be a shocker if they move on from McDermott, but they have been knocking on the door for years, and you are at this point starting to waste Josh Allen's
prime.
This is
the year, Z.
This is it, if not when.
If you can't win it this year, Sean, thanks for your time. You're gone, because next year they're all coming back. They're all coming back. They're all going to be ready to roll, and now we got to do this game again. You know?
Yeah. I mean, for me.
And you're going to be outed by the Jaguars? Oh. Leon Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, that's who's going to out you this year in Florida?
Duval. Oh, my God. We're going to get to our picks. We're going to get to the option for Super Wild Card Weekend. But as far as landing places of what's available, now, Philly may very well happen. He has been linked there. Tampa Bay would be, it wouldn't surprise me if they moved on from Todd Bowles, or they may treat this year as an aberration. You were remarkably unhealthy, and then you got healthy, and then you were actually worse when you were healthy. It was just a weird year for Tampa Bay, and I think ownership and the GM would kind of chalk it up to that. In terms of turnkey,
they underperformed.
They did
underperform.
They did.
Baker Mayfield was an MVP candidate. They were winnable games that they were losing.
With guys that weren't, like, not Evans, not Godwin. And then he gets his complement of guys back, and then they go in the toilet.
Right. Bucky Irving came back.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans came. Godwin came back. All those guys came back. And then you guys can't win a game. And you forget how to score.
Unreal.
And you can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
You're losing the Carolina Panthers. What the fuck is going on here?
That is NFC South Division champion.
Losing to the Saints and Tyler Shook.
Again, you know, they will be the division champ next year.
A team that you destroyed earlier in the season.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing all the way around. I agree. Of what's available, I like the Giants for him. Call me a homer all you want, but he has a very similar skill set to Lamar Jackson in Jackson Dart. Now, you have to coach the stupidity out of him. If you can coach the leading with the head out of Jackson Dart, the kid's got an arm. He can move. The offensive line was very good this year. It was fourth in the league. So you're trending in the right direction, right? You have pieces on defense. You got to shore up the secondary, as usual with the Giants. Like you're not. It's an incomplete
bring
on
back
defense,
Nick
but
Martin,
solid.
Martindale.
Oh God, I saw that. And people rightly pointed out that he fired Wink. So I don't think that's happening. As much as that, as cool as that would be to put the band back together with Monken and Wink, I don't think that's going to happen.
Where's Dean Pees?
Where is Dean Pees? Dean Pees might be retired at this point. He might be. Actually, you know what? Bring in Antonio Pierce on defense. Like
Why do you like that guy?
Yeah.
Why do you like that guy?
You know what? He was a good defensive coordinator for the Raiders. They were doing well. Like he had the defense playing well. He's not a great head coach. He was not a great head coach. But as a position coach, as a coordinator, he was good. He did a good job. But in terms of similar situations to what he was already in, I like the Giants. I think they're the best. The Watson thing,
he's the Ravens advisor at 76 years old.
Okay, so he's probably not coming back. But then again, Vic Fangio's coaching. So for the right price, I suppose anything's happened. Anything's possible. But yeah, Arizona doesn't excite me. Cleveland is confusing. Tennessee, no thank you. Raheem Morris is already kind of linked to that.
Raheem!
So enjoy, Raheem. Vaya con Dios, go with God. But yeah, Atlanta, I wouldn't touch with the 10-foot pole, even though Bijan Robinson like makes that job attractive. Like it's Arthur Blank allowed this mess to happen. And Arthur Blank is still there. Fontenot's gone. Raheem is gone. Arthur Blank is still there. So, you know, if I'm John Harbaugh, I don't want any part of that. It's an attractive job. When we order up, we're going to do that later. We're going to order up our best available jobs. It may very well be high on the list. But for John Harbaugh, I would say no. I would say no for him. But it is going to be very intriguing where the coaching carousel stops. Kensho Cocktails by RSRV Collective are premium, non-alcoholic drinks crafted to deliver bold, sophisticated flavors inspired by classic cocktails. Alcohol-free indulgence. Enjoy a 30% exclusive discount with our promo code DNZ at rsrvcollective.com. That's 30% off using our promo code DNZ only at rsrvcollective.com. But let's spin it forward. It's playoff time. We're here, man. We are absolutely here. And surprisingly, the Lions, Bucks, Chiefs, Ravens, and Bengals will not be in the playoffs this year. So which of those teams was the biggest surprise to you?
Which one is the biggest surprise to me? I'm going to go with the Bucks, and really just because not for what happened like in the preseason or what I thought of them early on, but for how they were playing, like how they were playing during the season without their key players. And then you're like, oh, they're going to get their key players back and
we're good.
You know, the NFC South is dog shit. So, you know, they'll be able to win. Like I think they came in third, didn't they?
They came in third?
Like, that's awful. Like, you were talking about Baker being the MVP. We were talking about how he's, you know, Tampa Baker. And we all thought, like, oh, wow, like, this is this is real life. And he was talking shit about Tom. He was like, you know, nobody was happy here when Tom was here, but we, you know, we're making it happier. People are happy to come to work. We're having fun. And Tom's like, yeah, but we won. And then they just stopped winning. So that's the biggest, that to me was the biggest one. I guess I expected the Bengals to be big this year. I thought Burrow would have been an MVP guy, but then he winds up getting hurt, which just seems to be the same old story for him. I'm not really surprised with the Chiefs because I asked a friend of mine to sum up the Chiefs season in one word, and he said inevitable. And I thought that was amazing. That was the perfect word for the run they were just on and everything that happened last year with the, you know, they were winning only, you know, they were almost undefeated in one score games. Of course that shit's going to reverse. Of course it's going to change its course. It's the National Football League. Like, of course this is going to happen, right? So, yeah, for me, it would be the Bucks, and then very shortly behind that would be the Bengals.
And that's fair. That those are all fair assessments, and I would just like to say that we are live on X. Thank you for joining us tonight, and you can join us moving forward. Just follow us on X at FadeRouteDNZ. But as far as the teams that we're talking about here, there were expectations, right? You expected the Bengals to compete. You expected the Lions, although they lost both of their coordinators, you expected them to compete because the talent was still there. The Bucks were just a confusing situation all the way around. The Ravens were in it. The Ravens were in it up until the last kick. So I really can't say I'm surprised because they were in it up until the final gun. But Lamar Jackson had them lined up, ready to go. And you know what? If he had just taken the knee where he was and not tried to shift over for a better position on a hash mark, this might be a different story because the kid shanked it right. Yeah. So something to be said about that. But inevitable is a good word for the Chiefs.
I'm not trying to knock Lamar at all. And I'd say he's got great sportsmanship. Yes. Because after the game, he looked relieved. He looked relieved. He really did. He was jumping around, running around, like giving everybody high fives, like on the Steelers, wishing them luck and everything. So he was either extremely relieved or has amazing sportsmanship. Where you see Josh Allen's like ripping his hair out of his head, throwing his helmet, like he's going like this. Like Lamar saw it miss, he's like, all right, man. That's it. I'm going to Cancun next week. Great.
I got Haley Steinfeld. I'm good, man. It's all good. It's all good. But a report on Yahoo Sports, so take it for what it's worth. Isaiah Likely apparently threw a John Harbaugh is out party. So there you go. So we'll see the veracity of that in the next upcoming days. But in terms of most surprising here, I mean, I had the Lions in the NFC title game. So just based on talent alone. Right, I had them against the Packers. I got halfway because the Packers are still alive, and they would have to make a hell of a run to get to the NFC title game, possibly with a concussed Jordan Love. But in terms of the depth of which they fell, I mean, it coincides with the ascension of the Bears.
They came in last, right?
They came in last. They came in dead fucking last. You went from, you know, knocking out the Vikings and taking home the NFC North last year, sending them on the road, and now you're dead ass fucking last. You're dead ass last, and you fired your offensive coordinator. John Morton's out. So
they did that already?
Yeah. So now you're looking for another guy. Hey, maybe they want Mike Kafka.
Very interesting year, because even though they fired Ben Johnson,
yeah,
and Johnny Morton was doing a subpar job, I guess they scored more points than they did last year.
That's interesting.
But I agree, the things didn't feel right, right? We kind of felt like their offense didn't feel right. It didn't run smooth.
Well, with the Lions, and Dan Campbell took over play calling.
Yeah, strange.
Dan Campbell's very good at run coordinating. As a tight end, he was a blocking tight end. He knows run schemes. Like, Dan Campbell knows that shit. Passing left a lot to be desired this year. And the aggressiveness, right? You're always worried about Dan Campbell coaching with his balls. And this is the year where the ballsy coaching, the gutsiness bit him in the ass. So I don't know if it necessarily will cause him to alter his coaching style, or if he's going to get somebody at OC who shares his vision in terms of aggression. Defensively, losing Aaron Glenn actually mattered. Like, let's be real here. Cliff Kingsbury is available. If he's not a head coach, that could be interesting. With him, with
Air Raid,
Sonic and Knuckles.
Just run the Air Raid.
Yeah. That would be very interesting. I mean, he turned Kyler Murray into a semi-decent quarterback for the first 8 games of the season. Now he's got to take it the rest of the way. So that becomes the issue with Cliff Kingsbury. But he's not the head coach. He would be the OC. I think that would be very interesting. And I would watch that. I think that's a good call. But Chiefs were inevitable. Ravens, I can't really put there. Bengals, the defense has always been suspect. And then what can you say about the Bucs that you haven't already said? But for me, the Lions, absolutely. And Dan Campbell would agree. He graded his coaching a freaking F for the 2025 season. So big decisions to be made in the Motor City. They have to choose which players to extend, which players to re-sign, which ones to let go. And should Detroit continue to go for it by spending money, or should they retool?
Yeah, it's interesting because Brad Holmes is the GM of the Detroit Lions, and he comes from that Rams front office.
They're
fuck them picks, So... I'm kind of in the boat of going for it right now. I'm gonna leverage my picks. I'm gonna get a high price free agent. I'm gonna pay a lot of money to keep some of the guys that I really care about and go all in on next year, because this division is just way too competitive. I mean, almost every team, was competitive when they were healthy. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, I do think next year JJ will have a better season. But the Bears have arrived. The Packers are here. I'm not going to go back to being the same old Lions. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
I'm not going to go back to that. So, I've got a good quarterback who stays healthy, plays all the games. I've got two really good receivers. I have two really good running backs. I'm all in. I'm going for it right now. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep this team on top. I'm not going to just try to draft my way back to the top and let, guys go. We're going to have to spend money, and we're going to, we're not that far off from where we were. The only thing is bad is that, they were real competitors last year, and it didn't feel that way this year.
You're right. Absolutely. And where it really took a step back was the O-line, to the point where they had to go see if Frank Ragnow was willing to come out of retirement, and then dude failed his physical. So that's a problem. Injuries. That is the keys, especially when you're looking at the defensive secondary. It's a problem. Staying healthy is an issue. Could you go sign a guy like Ross Havenstein? Could you sign a guy like Wyatt Teller? Like, are they going to make you better? Is Cam Robinson available, right? You have some players. Kevin Zeitler. Do you want to get him from Tennessee? He's available. You have some guys who could strengthen this line and make it impactful immediately. And I think you're in a space where you kind of need to keep your starters. Like, you can let some of the other players go, but I would say you want to keep Alex Anzalone. He's your middle linebacker. He's one of the better players on your defense. You want to keep a guy like DJ Reader. He'll plug the hole, right? You want to keep a guy like
Branch.
Marcus Davenport.
You
want to
keep
Brian Branch. You have some guys, right? And you know, you need depth in the secondary. Maybe you bring back Avante Maddox. Maybe that's the guy you bring back, or Jalen Mills, like something like that, on a lower kind of deal. But you're close, right? You were 8-9 this year, I believe. You don't need to be 15-2. You don't need to be up there. You can get in, right? This year, you know, you have the aberrations of...
Finish 9-8.
9-8, you can get in. 10 wins, 11 wins, somewhere that you don't need
but
to go.
Behind Minnesota, surprisingly. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild, considering the quarterback situation where you had Max Brosmer and you had friggin' Gen 9.
Winning games without no passing yards.
Right. And it's, you know, Jared Goff had a few stinkers this year. So it's one of those things that I think if you make a couple of minor adjustments, you reinforce on the line, the skill positions are there. Jared Goff is there. You got to find the coordinator. I know we talked about personnel, but the coordinator is the key. And I like your idea of Cliff Kingsbury. If all things go sideways, it would be worth it. It would absolutely be worth a call to see if he would want to come in and coach on this side of the ball. But they're not that far off. They could be a wild card team. They could possibly bubble back up and win the division. Like, this is, you know, 1 year with Ben Johnson under, you know, with Caleb Williams. Let's see them do it again, right? They did it this year. That's fine. They're now in the hot seat. They're the ones who need to prove that it wasn't fluke. So we'll see, but they definitely need to keep this window open, and they can, provided that they spend wisely.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. Really care about what's under your hood.
Speaking of wise, teams wisely got rid of their coaches. Black Monday was yesterday, and a number of teams said goodbye to their fearless leaders. We just talked about John Harbaugh. That was today, but the Raiders, Browns, Cardinals, and Falcons will all have new head coaches on top of the Giants and Titans. So you have 7 in total. Were any of these firings not justified?
Well, I don't think the Stefanski one was fair. 2-time coach of the year. He's been there for 6 years. I mean, he was dealt a bad deck this year. I mean, he had 3 rookie quarterbacks.
Yikes.
I mean, I would have liked to see him come back with Deshaun Watson and see how that would have went. I think he had the respect of the players there. I think they liked playing for him. He liked being there. He liked being in Cleveland. So I don't think that – I didn't like that. I didn't like that fire. And I think he's a hot name. I think he'll get another job. I mean, he did well when he was in Cleveland. So for me, that's the fire that I didn't think was justified. Pete Carroll doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Gannon and over in Arizona – it's 3 losing seasons, dude. Like, you didn't do anything. A lot of people are trying to say Raheem Morris should have kept his job, but I guess an argument could be made that he could have, but the GM really fucked him there. The whole thing with signing Cousins and then drafting Penix is just like, huh?
What are you doing?
What? And, like, it took the games not to matter for them to start playing good. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going on in Atlanta. It's a weird situation. I think for me, Stefanski was the one that was kind of unfair.
I agree.
Do you see anybody else getting fired?
That's a good question.
I already think Sirianni's gone.
I think the Texans may move on from D'Amico Ryans.
Possibly. That would be massive. That would be huge.
Possibly. Huge. If they get frustrated, if they're a one and done and they get embarrassed in Pittsburgh, that might be something where they pull back a little bit, even though he's won them division titles and he's been good for them. You know, stranger things have happened, right? McVay is safe, obviously. You know, McDonald is safe. McDermott's interesting. I know you mentioned McDermott. That could be something that happens. They won't fire Liam Cohen in the first, you know, if I think.
No.
He may win coach of the year, actually. Liam Cohen, he's got a legitimate case for coach of the year. So I think D'Amico Ryans, that team has underachieved. Now it has suffered from, you know, Nico Collins got hurt last year, probably still recovering from that. Tank Dell, like, we hardly knew you, man. Like, that was a gruesome injury. So you still haven't really replaced them. You lost Joe Mixon. So, you know, you may have bought yourself a little bit of time, but if the owner is impatient, I could see it. I can absolutely see that. But, I'm with you. Like, Pete Carroll, you did nothing to guarantee that you would come back next year. Kevin Stefanski, they fucked him over on quarterback, because this is the guy who had the Browns in position to go to a Super Bowl with Baker fucking Mayfield as his quarterback. And then it all went to shit. It went completely to shit. And now you have, what, four or five quarterbacks still on the roster? It's a joke. It's a complete friggin' joke. Yes, I understand the point of view as far as Raheem Morris. I get it. You went on a heater at the end of the year. The team, you didn't lose the locker room. But, yeah, you were already eliminated when you went on this heater. So, it's basically
30-0 to the fucking Panthers.
They lost to the Jets. That in itself is a fireball offense.
If you lost to the Jets, you should have lost your job. I think everybody that lost to the Jets lost their job except for one guy.
Jesus.
They didn't have an interception all year.
No.
How is that possible?
Adios, muchacho. I don't think so. Like,
I could totally see Cleveland like hiring Deion now, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they've paved the way. What did we say? I said this months ago. We paved the way. We fire Stefanski. We bring in Deion Sanders. All is right with the world. Stefanski will get a job. Stefanski in Atlanta? I could see that.
Yeah.
A competent quarterback, a good running game. Yeah. If Pitts in London could ever catch the goddamn ball.
Pitts is an enigma. I don't understand that guy.
He lives up to his name.
He is just so mediocre, so up and down. Like, you can't really rely on that guy.
No, absolutely not. And Gannon, once he kind of popped the player, like, it was done for him. Like, it's a bad look on the sideline.
That's how Kyle Murray went to bat for him today, though. Odd. Well, pleasure going to war with you, he said. It's like, what? All right.
Kyler Murray's just, you know, he needs a job. Like, Kyler Murray just straight up needs a job.
Sounds like a Jet already. I'm hearing things about the Raiders considering, like, Cignetti and Mendoza.
The old Dabo, Trevor Lawrence play. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. But you know what? If I'm Indiana, blank check. This is the best Indiana football's ever been. Right? So
he doesn't stay. But he doesn't stay wherever he goes. He's always like one or two and done. Like, that's just his MO. And to me, that's, you know, when you're doing that in college, you're kind of building towards becoming a pro coach, right? And
right.
Demeanor and the way he acts, it seems like he can be, you know, it seems like he can be a hard ass and be a legit, like, NFL coach.
I don't know if he's, I mean, we're going to talk more about the college football playoff in a second.
Matt Rhule kind of ruined it for all college coaches.
Matt Rhule.
You don't see a lot of college coaches getting, you know, any offers anymore.
No.
Because I thought the Giants would have considered Lane Kiffin
The Giants were considering Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean, maybe Freeman will be in the mix next year, but I think right now he's kind of sticking where he is. I could see, you know, as a stepping stone prior to the NFL, I could see Cignetti actually leaving Indiana and going to Michigan, right? because Michigan is a higher profile program and they probably could pay more than Indiana too. So that's a possibility, like one more step.
That's a real kick in the balls if he did that.
I mean, it's no different than the Kalen DeBoer from Alabama to Michigan, right? There's another kind of kick in the dick.
No, it's kind of different because isn't DeBoer a Michigan man?
He is. He went to Michigan. Yes, he is.
He's a Michigan man. You can't deny a Michigan man.
But I would argue Alabama's a better job. It's a higher profile job than Michigan. Like, that's my opinion. Like, we're talking
to a Michigan man.
Yeah. Well,
Michigan man, to go back to Michigan, that's the Mecca. That's the all-time compliment.
But to an Alabama man, like, Alabama is the be-all, end-all. It's even
like
bigger
Lane
than
Kiffin.
That.
Like, if Alabama was to call Lane Kiffin, he'd go. That's his spot, man.
Timbuktu could call Lane Kiffin, and if the money was right, he would go. Like, that's the thing. I am now the head coach at Timbuktu Preparatory School. Number one, baby. Let's freaking go. But as far as the head coaches right now, the justified hire, the justified firing, they all could have gone. Honestly, I can't. Stefanski's the only one I could kind of push back on, but I think he definitely ran his course. He ran his race.
Even Harbaugh is justified.
Even Harbaugh. I mean, 18 years. Like, you don't stay forever, man. You really don't. Either you retire or you go out. The Tom Coughlin thing really crystallized that for a lot of people, you know? Like, Coughlin brings you two Super Bowls. He did go down. There was a decline, right? And he had been an NFL head coach for 20 years, right? In some capacity between the Jaguars and the Jets. The Giants, rather. Excuse me. Between the Jags and the Giants, he had coached over 20 years, thrown Boston College. So you run your course. Over time, you need a change in voice. And sometimes you just run your race, and that's okay. But some guys don't ever get out of starting blocks. And that's the guys like Jonathan Gannon. Never really got out of starting block. Raheem Morris never really, I mean, Terry Fontenot made sure he didn't get out of the starting block. Here's Kirk Cousins. By the way, we're taking Michael Penix. Huh? The fuck? Why?
No, and he seemed all on board with it, though.
What was he gonna say? It's like, dude,
shake your head.
The fuck? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing
Cousins
this to me?
Cousins is like, huh? Meanwhile, Kurt actually, I think, finished well down the stretch. I want to say he went like 5-3.
So they restructured his contract too. So he, you know, there's change that's going to happen in Atlanta. Absolutely. But you could have talked me into Gannon for one more year. You could have talked me into Morris for one more year. You could have talked me into Stefanski for one more year. Pete Carroll's been done. So like, Pete, I'm sorry, coach. You had a fantastic career. You're done.
The mistake there was hiring Chip Kelly as the OC. I thought that was going to be really well, but it didn't sound like he was really up for the challenge.
Chip Kelly trading for Geno Smith. Like, there's, you know,
Geno Smith took a step back when he was in college, and he kind of lost his mojo for coaching offense. I mean, he once was one of the best offensive minds in football, but
yeah,
it seems like it passed him by this year.
Well, everybody
they opened
up
with beating the Patriots.
That's right.
They opened up with beating the Patriots.
Here's a trivia question, guys. Just in case you forgot. Discover Afuera Coffee's vibrant flavors from certified Rainforest Alliance farms in Central and South America. Enjoy rich, smooth, and aromatic brews while supporting sustainability. Taste excellence with every sip. Use our promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% discount only at afueracoffee.com. That's afueracoffee.com. 15% off using our promo code DNZ. Well, we talked about college, and let's wrap it up with college. The next round of the endless college football playoff took place the past week and weekend. The U beat Ohio State, Indiana crushed Alabama, Oregon blanked Texas Tech, and Ole Miss took care of Georgia. Exciting, right? Wake me up when it gets interesting. Indiana is the only team that had a bye that won. Are the byes hurting the product? And who do you have going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the byes are hurting the product because you can't take a week off and then play a team that just played and expect to beat them. You just can't. It's not in the cards, dude. It's not possible. You know, Indiana's the obsession because they're the best team in the country right now. And they're playing Alabama, who's terrible. Alabama didn't belong there in the first place. So yeah, I do think it's hurting the product. I think the transfer portal is hurting the product. I think the coaches are hurting the product because I think Ole Miss is losing some more coaches this week because, you know, this is another week where these guys got to figure out where they're going to go.
Yeah.
And, the kids are just playing for whoever's coming in there and they're thinking, you know, they don't know if this guy's going to be here next year or he has their best interest at play or if he even really knows the team really well, which stinks because I think Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin and his staff, you would give them a good chance to move forward and to compete for the national championship. But now it's almost like the players are winning despite the coaches. It's hard to go against Indiana at this point, right? Because yeah. they just look like a force to be reckoned with. They have the Heisman winner, right? And they're just clicking all cylinders. Their coach has them playing his brand of football, which is the best brand of football right now. So I've got them smoking out Oregon. I don't think Oregon wins. And I got Miami winning. So you got a 1 versus a 10, if I'm right.
1 versus a 10. It's exactly what they drew up. It's exactly what they drew up when they expanded to 12. So now they have to go to 16, right? You have to go to 16 to eliminate the byes.
I don't know what you do.
Because we know the answer. The answer is go back to 4. They right, don't do that.
That's the answer, is to go back to 4. Because I don't want to watch this. Like, I don't want to watch you. Z, you're gonna get up for Indiana against Miami?
No.
Now you would have probably gotten up for Indiana versus Ole Miss if they still had their coaching staff, right?
Yeah.
But now it's a watered down game. It's Cignetti and his team that he's been with all year would be going against Ole Miss and, you know, just a bunch of coaches that are left in the room because all the other ones have moved on. So it's a timing thing.
Yep.
So if you move to 16, that's not going to make it better. That's going to make it worse. Like, I don't want to see 1 versus 10. I want to see 1 at the worst case scenario versus 4. At the worst. If I'm lucky, I get 1 versus 2. That's what I really want. You know?
I mean, Indiana versus Ohio State would have been
trash.
Ideal. But it would have been ideal. It would be the 1-2. At the worst, you're looking at Indiana, Texas Tech. Now, this year they were in the bracket, but if you're looking at if that was a championship game, Texas Tech didn't even belong in the same field as Oregon. So Indiana would destroy
them. They couldn't even score.
A joke. Now, yeah, Indiana, Miami doesn't sell. Now, if it was Indiana, Notre Dame.
No. Hold on. Indiana, Miami is going to sell just based off of their alumni. Your Michael Irvings and your Ray Lewis's of the world.
No, the U sells. The U.
Oh, what are you talking about?
So the U sells. Indiana doesn't bring anybody to the table.
Oh no, Indiana doesn't bring.
No, they don't. They bring basketball players to the table. They don't bring football.
Right.
So if you're, I mean, the glitz and the championship game is in Miami. That's a home game for the U. That would be a home game for the U. So in your scenario, I would take Miami to beat Indiana. I would.
Wow. You would. Okay.
But I'm taking Indiana Ole Miss. And I think either way, I see Indiana losing in the championship. I think Ole Miss, like you said, they're doing this despite Lane Kiffin and as a fuck you to their former coach. You wanted to leave us.
Does he still get a ring?
I think he does. I think he gets a share, dude. I think he actually gets money for this. I think he got 50 grand. I think it's 50 grand to win.
Tough change.
God damn it. Couch cushion money. Couch cushion money for one Mr. Lane Kiffin. But yeah, I think either it's a home game, Miami wins, or it's the ultimate motivation for Ole Miss. Oh, you think we're not good enough for you? Watch this. Watch this, motherfucker. And that's a hell of a motivator. And then some of them will go in the transfer portal to LSU with their rings. It's like, hey, coach, look at this. Isn't that fantastic? But yeah, I'm with you. NIL has killed this. Transfer portal has killed this. Coaches have killed this. It's that the playoff in itself is killing this.
It's never ending. I just want this to be over already.
I mean, if we think about it, what other four teams? Because Notre Dame is the 13, right? If we were to expand it this year, Notre Dame would have been 13, and then who would have been? Like, who would have been the last three?
Trash. It was trash anyway, though.
Yeah, I can't think of them off the top of my head. So
see if we can get rankings here. Give me a second.
You know, but you know.
All right, so 11 would have been Notre Dame. 12 would have been BYU. 13 would have been Texas. 14 would have been Vanderbilt. 15 would have been Utah. 16 would have been USC.
Okay. I mean, USC. Okay. Not the most exciting in the world, but, you know, Vanderbilt was hot for a while, right? Texas, you know, they were the preseason number one. And, you know, you had a couple of those teams bubbled up. So it could have been worse. It actually could have been a lot worse.
Go back to the BCS. Fuck this shit.
I agree. Like, I mean, we're in a position where it's just...
like, the whole thing is like, if Miami gets there and they face Indiana and Miami wins, do we really think Miami is the national champion, or did they just win this bracket?
They won a tournament. They won a tournament. Yeah.
Which is something that is not what football is based on. Football is not a tournament sport. Basketball is a tournament sport. Tennis is a tournament sport. Baseball, to a certain degree, is a tournament sport. Not football.
No.
Football is not. Football is win and go home. Like,
exactly.
Know.
This is, you know, it's a game of attrition, and it just cheapens the regular season too. So it's, you know.
Now granted, if you're a Miami fan, you're happy.
Oh, completely.
Right?
Completely.
But if you're an Indiana fan, you're like, shit.
What more do you need to do? Right? You got to run the table. You have no choice but to run the table.
I think it's designed to be the other way around, right? It's designed for Miami to be the one seed and Indiana to be the 10 seed. So a team like Indiana or BYU or Vanderbilt has a chance, right? That's the purpose of this, is that you have a chance and you can get money for your school and so on and so forth. But I don't think it really is crowning the true champion of this.
No.
You know?
When it was
because
four.
Then you could just throw these rankings out the window, can't you? I mean,
well, we talked about it with Notre Dame.
You look at this. Texas Tech was number four. They got fucking shut out by Oregon, who was number five.
Yes,
Alabama's a nine, and they put up 3 points against a one. Why would I want to watch that game? Like, why would I want to watch Alabama play Indiana? Why would I want to watch a nine play a one? Like, I just, some of this stuff is like, huh? What?
But like you said, it works in March Madness. It works in a basketball context. It doesn't work in this scenario.
No, because I'm not getting the best team. All I'm doing is getting a team that won a tournament.
Right.
They won a tournament. Just like Knicks. The Knicks are the NBA Cup champions. That's great. But they didn't win the NBA Finals. Likely, that's going to be a much tougher task for them. Seven games, so on and so forth. But for a tournament, they won a tournament. Good for you. They're not even hanging a banner in the rafters for this thing.
No. And they, you know, they just got their shit wrecked by the Pistons. But it's built into the regular season, right? It's the regular season did not culminate in this. Basketball is designed for that playoff, right? You have your eight seeds out of 10, and it's built for the attrition of it. You have best of fives, best of sevens, and so on and so forth. The amount of teams are wrong. The bracket is wrong. I understand that, yeah, it sucked when Cincinnati actually earned its way in to be the fourth seed in the 14 tournament, but they earned it.
Right? The other thing is it's taken too long. So you know what? You want to do this, then only play eight regular season games.
Yeah.
Make a cupcake and start the bowls right after that.
I mean, think about it, right? If you make those preseason games, now all of a sudden you go right into conference play everybody's sharp. You're not going to have shit football. You're running into that with the pros too. You cut back on the number of preseason games.
And then when you get to the Final Four, that could be the week of Christmas. So that everybody got the month off and everybody's coming in the same.
Or you know what? Here's an idea. Here's an idea. Like, maybe you change it in such a way that you actually have a national championship game the week in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. So go against the Pro Bowl and take that.
No, I don't want any of that shit. I want this over with already. I don't want to watch college football anymore. I'm tired of it. I don't want to watch it anymore. Just let it be over. Like, it should have been over already. Just end this shit. Give it to Indiana. Let's call it a day. Who wants to watch this? I'm ready for the NFL playoffs. I want to watch the pros. I don't want to watch this shit.
And just like that, D's broken. The NCAA broke D. So there you go. But yeah, I'm in the minority as far as the expansion of it, contraction. You and I are pro contraction and elimination as far as you're concerned. I understand that. But it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to kind of take it back a little bit. But they're never going to do it because of money. It's never going to happen. Money talks and bullshit walks. And unfortunately, we're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it's going to be a freaking 64 fucking team tournament, just like in NCAA basketball. And it's greed. Just unadulterated greed.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ. And you could be using that at MollyBZ.com.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right
now. All right, boys and girls, we have some statements and they're either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number one, Christian McCaffrey is the real MVP of the 2025 NFL season.
No shit.
Ooh,
no shit, man. Like, when you look at his numbers, like the year he had, he carried this team. I mean, you got to remember, Purdy was out for a while, right? Ayuk never even played.
No, he did never not. Even played. That's true.
Kittle was hurt for a large part of the season. Like, he was the only person on this team that was there every. I don't think he missed a game. I miss a lot of games, didn't miss any game. He led the team in rushing yards and receiving yards. I'm sure he led them in touchdowns, too. Let me see. Did he lead them in touchdowns? I'll have to look this up.
He had 10 on the year.
He had what?
I think he had 10 on the year.
No. I got to see how many. See what he did. Yeah, he had 10. He had 10 rushing. And he had 7 receiving. So he had 17
total touchdowns?
Yeah. He had 17 total fucking touchdowns. Nobody's coming close to that on his team. So, yeah, I vote for Christian McCaffrey.
I would say no shit. I would. However, unfortunately for him, we're in a scenario where the MVP award has become a quarterback award. We're not even considering Myles Garrett for MVP. And he just set the single season sack record.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Like, you know, that was soft. That was as soft as Brett Favre. Joe Burrow as soft as Brett Favre.
Joe Burrow jumping on the floor like he's got a fucking turtle on his back.
Now, Jonathan Taylor had over 300 more yards and had 3 more touchdowns. He had 18 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns this year. Now, if you're taking performance into it, how valuable are you when your team went in the toilet? Right? Now, yes, they were gearing up for him because they had 44-year-old Philip Rivers under center, right? And then Riley Leonard. So, yeah, like, Jonathan Taylor didn't have much of a shot at some point.
They won their last game, I think.
They did. No, the Texans won. I believe the Texans won on the field goal.
Oh, Texans won.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
it was competitive. It was close.
It was very close. But I would say Jonathan Taylor has a good argument. I think your boy Sam is probably going to win it. I think your boy Sam is going to take it home.
I don't know. Play like shit the last game.
I know. Well, one game doesn't mean anything.
You're telling me you don't think it's coming down to Drake May and Matthew Stafford?
I mean, Matthew Stafford has been prolific. Drake May, he was fine. He was fine.
I don't know. I think he's a little bit more than fine.
Yeah. I think his vision has kind of helped out Sam Darnold's case here. Just like the same way that Jonathan Taylor's kind of been forgotten about because his team wasn't doing so well.
But so did Drake May. He won the division.
But look at the division he was in.
Yeah, look at the division he was in. I mean, Bills, they knocked the Bills off.
Right. But look at Sam Darnold. He had to go through Brock Purdy. He had to go through Matthew Stafford.
Did he go through them? Or did the defense, the running game, Jackson and Jigba, like, you know.
Well, who got Jackson Smith and Jigba the ball? Quarterback, running, wide receivers are a dependent position. You need the quarterback to get you the ball.
If you didn't give it to him last year, you can't give it to him this year. What's the difference? What's the difference between this year and last year for Sam?
Not much.
He did become only the second quarterback in NFL history.
To go back-to-back 14 wins.
Back-to-back 14-win seasons.
So there's that. There is that. Now, I mean, Matthew Stafford was impressive, but is it more of a lifetime achievement award? So I think Sam Darnold's got a legitimate shot here.
I would say what he did was very impressive this year, Sam. I give him that. Yeah. I think it was impressive.
Yeah, and it's a question of value, right? They're never going to rate the running back higher than a quarterback. Never, ever, 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 ever. So, it's in my opinion, it's a three-horse race. And, yeah, Drake May, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold's got to be in that conversation, man. But, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, maybe fifth of those, I would say. Good season, great season for him. Most importantly, stayed healthy. That's amazing for him. Oh boy, this is going to be fun for you. Bullshit or no shit, number two. The second baseman, Kyler Murray, will be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets in 2026.
Oh, no shit. No shit. It's their play. That's their play, right? They're not going to go and draft a guy because they're going to fuck that up. They're going to trade for him.
Oh, God.
Because that, in their heads, they're saying, okay, we can't get this wrong. Like, he's a proven quarterback. And he can throw and he can run. This has success all over it. And we don't have to worry about picking the wrong guy. This is a Jet move if I've ever seen one. 100% no shit.
Oh, God. Now, the question is, you figure the Raiders are locked in with Mendoza at number one.
You figure. Because the next quarterback off the board, I would think, is going to be Moore from Oregon.
And he's already been on his social media saying how he doesn't want to be a Jet.
No, did he really?
There was this thing on his social media. It's like,
That's amazing.
It's like, somebody's going to tell you to stay in school because the Jets have the number two pick. It's important that you listen to him.
Don't be a jerk.
That's great. P.S. That man was probably Peyton Manning.
That's great. That's why Arch ain't coming out.
You move on from Mendoza, and then all of a sudden Dante Moore is the number one draft pick next year if he plays well. So Now, from 3-2, right? Because if the Cardinals want to jump the Jets and they want to include Kyler Murray in the package, it does sound like a Jet move, actually. It does sound like.
But remember, they can totally run this back with Brissett. They know they can. They know they can. You know, he's a competent quarterback. And then you just accumulate draft picks from the Jets.
Yeah, true.
and start to rebuild your team.
Yeah,
I mean, and next year. Remember, next year now.
That's the quarterback draft.
Is the quarterback draft, not this year anymore.
Right.
Those guys are safe.
Now, if you like duct tape this together with Brissett, with a Flacco, with even if you want to take a flyer on Malik Willis, I think you give him the reins and see what he can do. I think it'd be fine. You draft a weapon at number two. You draft the wide receiver.
I don't know how some things they have to figure out because I'm not sure about Marvin Harrison Jr. anymore.
Harrison's a bust.
Trey McBride is good, but they've got to retool that offensive line.
Yeah.
They've got to rebuild that defense. Like, they've got a lot of things that they've got to do, and having the second baseman on their team is just that's not
gonna be good. Not helping. But
even if they wanted to send him to Miami, they could do that too. But I think he's gonna be a Jet.
Well, the Jets would have that would be the funniest thing. They'd have their pick of trading for Kyler Murray or signing Tua once Miami cuts him. Like, then right. I could see Kyler Murray and Tua both ending up on the Jets. Like, that would be a fucking...
We got it now.
Yes. We're going to go to the lefty.
Right where we want him.
He wants the righty. The vile thing. Oh, God. But, you know, Moogie doesn't really show me that, you know, based on the Fields thing, based on the Tyrod Taylor thing, not exactly showing me that he's got an eye for talent at the quarterback position, right? Brady Cook, you did your job. You got them to number two. Congratulations, Brady. You will be compensated for that. But I gotta say, like, I'm being swayed on the second baseman. I'm being swayed. I think it's such a preposterous and stupid move. That's got the Jets written all over it. It's got the Jets written all over this pitch. So,
we got him now.
Oh, my God. This is the – forget Justin Fields. This is the mobile quarterback we were talking about.
This is the guy.
You know, we got the wrong guy. Sorry. My bad. Yeah, no shit. It's definitely going to happen, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be absolutely glorious. Oh, God.
When the last time he was in New York, I'm pretty sure he went to like West 4th Street and he went to Joe's Pizza, like near my job too. So he's been dabbling around in New York.
He's been doing pizza reviews. And he's trying to be Dave Portnoy. All right, good for you, man.
Good start.
You're gonna don't weasel your way into that market because you know. There's plenty of Barstool people out there. They'll fight.
Don't weasel your way into that market.
They'll cut you. They'll absolutely cut you if you try to infringe on El Presidente's game. I will hurt you, man. Oh, good. Speaking of former Jets, bullshit or no shit, number three, the Chiefs should pursue Aaron Rodgers in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I say no shit, or I think you also brought up Mr. Joe Flacco would be a good ad too. Yeah, I like it. I like the idea to bridge, you know, until Patrick comes back. I think him and Andy Reid would make a good team. Especially with what he was able to do this year in Pittsburgh. You know, I think you could see Tomlin mouthing the words to Aaron after the game, thank you for getting into the playoffs. Because he did. I mean, if it wasn't for Aaron, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. Same thing with the Jets. Like, the Jets let him... The Jets have more quarterbacks in the playoffs that aren't on their team than, you know, anybody else. I mean, I don't... I do think it's worthwhile.
It's worth a phone call. It's absolutely worth a phone call to see where Aaron Rodgers' head is at. Because I'm sure he's kind of looking around the league and he's trying to, you know, see what his options are. Flacco would definitely be a good option. You just need a veteran, steady Eddie, a guy that's going to keep you afloat, just keep the train moving forward until Patrick Mahomes gets healthy. Like, that's a lot of guys in this league. You have a lot of guys who are just competent quarterbacks. Like, if you can keep him healthy, Jimmy G. Right? If you can keep him upright, Joe Flacco, like we mentioned. Right? There are plenty of options. I would even think about maybe like looking at Andrew Dalton. Andrew Dalton's still got a fine arm. You're waiting on the Travis Kelce decision. You're waiting on like what they do in the draft. Because, you know, you got Worthy, you got Rice, you got Juju. Those aren't exciting. You know, you need a running back. You need a good running back. You have Pacheco, but not exciting. You had to go bring Kareem Hunt back. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. Ugh. Like, you know, you're
Kid Brashard wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is reunite. You gotta get the band back together. Go get Tyreek Hill on one leg. You know, and you're reuniting in the old team. But I could see a scenario where Aaron Rodgers goes to the Chiefs for 1 year and then hangs it up. Because,
yeah,
I mean, if you're going there, you're going there knowing that Patrick Mahomes is coming back. So
right.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. But I think it's more likely. So I'm going to go bullshit on this. I think it's more likely that they use more of a bridge candidate like a Joe Flacco. More than a high-profile drama-type story which will feed some narratives like Aaron Rodgers. Both would be good choices. Both would be exactly what you need them to be. But I think that Flacco is definitely the more realistic choice and the more realistic candidate for the job.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. FCKCloud.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Raiders. The goddamn Raiders. You schmucks. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. The time has come.
Let's go.
All right. So first up, I've got the New York Knicks. Lost to the Pistons by 30 in Detroit.
Yikes.
Given up over 110 points in their last 12 games. And they're currently on a 4-game skid. Can't be losing by 30 to Detroit, man. New York Knicks, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Kawhi Leonard. We've got Boston beating the Clippers 146-115, and then Jaylen Brown putting up a 50-burger on you. 50. I think Jaylen Brown might be a top 10 NBA player. But playing without Tatum, he's really taking his team on his shoulder this year. Kawhi Leonard, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, quarterback of the 49ers, number 13, Brock Purdy. He didn't look Purdy over the weekend. The 49ers went into their last game averaging 40 points a game in their last three games. So with the Seahawks coming to town, you think they put up a big fight? You got the division on the line. Possible bye in the... You got fucking destroyed. You only put up 3 points. Brock, 19 for 27, 127 yards with a pick. Brock Purdy, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
Thanks for coming, Brock. Thanks for coming. Let's start with COVID. Let's start with lupus. Let's start with the Jets. 35-8 was your final score in the final game at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. But that's not why they're here. They did it. Popped the champagne. They finished the season without recording a pick on defense. No interceptions.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
How?
Fucking
unbreakable.
Joke.
Unbreakable record.
Yeah, but like Michael Strahan said, this will be the record for the 17-game season. When they go the 18, you know, it's one of those things. Like, you put an asterisk next to it. So, once again, the Jets...
Not a tip pass.
Nothing.
Not like an errant throw. Quarterbacks were so efficient against you, you couldn't get anything. And you had Ahmad Gardner for half of the season.
Mr. What was it? 2-13. What was his record this year?
Yeah,
awful.
Yeah, 2-13.
Ahmad. Yeah. Sauceless. Completely Ahmad. Sauceless.
You're sauceless, Gardner.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Dry Gardner.
Oh my God. Well, New York Jets. What can you say about the season other than it's over, and thank God it's over? But somehow Aaron Glenn kept his job.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't understand. I really don't understand.
And you didn't move Breece Hall.
He's gone. So.
As if he had no value.
The fucked up thing. We just talked about
Adam. Whatever you want, just give me something. Give me a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Stock my fridges for the next 5 years. Just don't let him go away here with nothing.
He goes to the Chiefs.
And he was the best player out of all of them.
Yeah. Garrett Wilson.
He's a running back.
Garrett Wilson led the team in receiving yards. He's been out for the past 6 weeks.
He hasn't caught a pass since October 12th.
Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? These are the guys we're running it back with.
Oh, shit.
This is the brain trust. Tell them, Wash. It's incredibly hard.
Let's run it back. Let's run it back.
We're just running it back with the same fucking guys. Are you kidding me?
Some of the statistics I saw from this past season are just not believable, but we're real. Like, there's something regarding like quarterbacks. Like, they haven't had a quarterback throw for more than 10 touchdowns. Like,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. But hey, you know what? You're going to be right back in this position next year, and maybe that's part of the plan. Like, maybe that's the grand design.
Zach Wilson will be a free agent. Maybe pick him back up.
Yeah. You throw a boatload of money at him. You throw a boatload of money at...
I think that guy's done.
Yeah.
I think that guy's done.
He's got it.
I think,
dude.
He might be the biggest bust in the history.
You couldn't beat out a 7th
round. He might be worse than Jamarcus Russell. He might be worse than that.
That's bad.
That's really bad.
That's really bad.
Because I thought by going to Miami... Mike McDaniel, because Kyle Shanahan tree would have something for him. Mike McDaniel's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I got something for you. See you on the fucking bench.
Go sit over there.
Get my Gatorade.
Count the plays. Just count the plays, all right?
Oh, my God. New York Jets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the A's. Have you heard this story?
Yes, I
have. Unbelievable. They're moving to Vegas, as far as we know. They are moving to Vegas. Now, their trademark for Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics have been denied. Why? Because somebody else already fucking has it. Like, are you kidding me? You did not think of this before you started the process of moving your franchise.
Go with the masturbators.
Oh my God.
The Expos.
Yeah.
How about the Gamblers and you have the 1-800 number on your jerseys?
If you were anyone you know. Oh my God. That's.
No, make it the Aces and then make the WNBA team change their name. Cause a real controversy there.
No, do, really do what the.
Mess some shit up.
No, it's even better. Be the Aces, but pay them like wrestler Sting and singer Sting. Singer Sting has to pay the wrestler $1 a year to use the name. So there you
oh,
go.
Oh, really? Yeah. The wrestler came out first?
Steve Borden was before Gordon Sumner. It's crazy.
Wow.
So
interesting.
It's very interesting. So you pay to you rent the team name from the WNBA team. That's not a bad idea right there. You know, just
the Desert Eagles.
Something. The house. The house always wins.
House. Yes. The Vegas houses.
The Vegas house. There you go. But how do you not?
Vegas fountains.
How do you not secure the trademarks? How do you not do this? A sports bar in Las Vegas has the trademark. You schmucks.
Vegas Expos.
You schmucks. The strip. The Vegas strips. It's just
the Vegas strips.
That's it. It's just a pinstripe uniform. It's just the strips. Just that's it, you know. Oh my God, you morons!
The Vegas white elephants.
Had one job. You had
Let's
one.
Not get racist. The Vegas elephants.
Yeah. Oh Jesus Christ! Well, maybe you'll get lucky, and the West Sacramento Athletics has not been
West Side.
Let's go, WSA baby! Oh, you
aw shit!
Fucking idiots! You fucking idiots! Las Vegas A's. Oh no, just the A's. We can't. Can we still? Yeah. No, they still have the. They still have the trademark for that. Okay, the A's. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the Premier League, the English Premier League. What the hell is going on? Owners are losing their goddamn minds over in the Premier League. You have number four, Liverpool. They're locked into Champions League right now. Rumors they're going to fire Arne Slot, the guy who won the fucking Premier League last year for Liverpool. No. It's what have you done for me lately? And he hasn't done much. Get the fuck out of here. What are you kidding me? Number five, Chelsea. Currently in the Europa. Won a thing we like to call the Club World Cup. Fired manager Enzo Maresca. Why? Because he didn't want to be a yes man. Okay, cool. He didn't want to sit Cole Palmer, admit transfer rumors. All right, he wants to have his own team. What the fuck? He won. He won over the summer. Arne Slot won over the summer. Why are you getting rid of him? It's nonsense. And then number six, Manchester United, sacking Ruben Amorim. Which is fair, because he has done a dog shit job in Man U. And it goes to show you, though, how bottom heavy the Premier League is this year when a team as dog shit as Man U is in sixth. That's bad. Right? Nottingham Forest flirted with Premier League last year, Champions League last year. Now firmly in 17th. Right? You have a team like West Ham. West Ham is fighting to avoid relegation. Spurs are middle of the pack. Everton's in the middle of the pack. Brighton's in the middle of the pack. Very, very, very bottom heavy this year. So, you find somebody who can actually win a game, you hold on to them. You hold on to them for dear motherfucking life. So you keep Arne Slot. You keep Enzo Maresca. What are you doing? You're just going to run your team into the ground. Premier League owners, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.